First, directly behind me is our seminarian for the summer. We give a very warm St. Mary's welcome to Pete Osteen. He's going into his second year of major theology, and he's just beginning his time here, and we're very excited to have him. He will say a few words to introduce himself at the end of Mass. So welcome to Pete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the most iconic trees in the Bible, one that you can still see in the Holy Land if you visit today, is the great cedar of Lebanon. The Lebanon cedar is an evergreen tree that can reach about 130 feet in height, with a massive trunk about 8 feet in diameter, which is about 2 more feet than my wingspan right here. One of the oldest living ones today is over 2,000 years old, so present at the time Jesus was walking the earth. It has long been a symbol of strength and longevity. And it is this tree that Ezekiel, in the first reading, says that God says he will take a tiny shoot, tear it off, and plant it to grow into a new, majestic cedar. The cedar represented the people of God, and now he's going to create a new shoot, a new majestic cedar. And that Ezekiel then mentions that birds of every kind will dwell beneath it, will dwell in its branches, he's saying. And this is what God did. This is a symbol of the church, the new Israel, with the birds symbolizing, in the words of the book of Revelation, people of every nation, race, people, and language, all under the one tree, the church. It came to be. Jesus continues this theme in the gospel. The gospel mentions one of the parables I would venture to guess is one of the most familiar ones, and that of the mustard seed. Jesus compares that tiny mustard seed and its potential to grow, he compares that to the kingdom of God. The tiny, insignificant, overlooked seed of the church can grow and has grown into a huge tree that embraces over 1.2 billion people on this planet. The beginnings of the church, though, were tiny. And through merely human eyes and experience, it often looked like it wasn't going to happen at all. The apostles that Jesus chose were not men of great learning, although they would have, out of necessity, had to know a couple of languages, have that under their belt. Most of the 12 likely would have what we would call a 6th or 7th grade education. But God does not need degrees from Ivy League universities. What he needs is great faith. With great faith, we can move mountains. A person was helping Mother Teresa clean up her room a bit, and on top of a wardrobe, there was a dusty cardboard box. Mother, what is this? And she looked inside, and there was her 1979 Nobel Peace Prize stuck up in the top. What was important for Mother Teresa was to plant the seeds, not simply to polish an award for something. She went around planting seeds of faith that have grown and grown. I recently read an article from a man named Tom Hoops, who was writing about his experience with small acts of faith. One day he got a strange call at his office in Connecticut. The woman's voice on the other side said, "Is your wife the woman who walks to Mass with her children?" This is a stranger, by the way. Wondering first if it was some creepy stalker, he hesitatingly said, "I guess. Why?" Well, the woman continued, "My sister always talks about how impressed she is seeing her. And my sister is in real trouble right now. Can I give your wife her phone number?" So he did, and his wife ended up offering consolation and direction. to the woman over the phone that she didn't know, but she had said nothing at all to evangelize her in the traditional sense. All she had done was to stay faithful to daily Mass, not even trying to be noticed. But it transformed someone else's life. In my first parish in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, at Christ Our King, I got to know a great guy named Sal. And for all of us non-Italians, that's short for Salvatore. He owned a very successful local restaurant. And before opening the restaurant, he was struggling in his life. And he told me about that time, and he told me he didn't know what to do with his life. He was thinking about opening this restaurant, and he went to talk to the pastor, Monsignor Carter. And of course, Monsignor Carter had no recollection of this meeting at all. But apparently, during the meeting, as Sal was going on about his doubts, Monsignor said, "Well, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed." He went on, but that's all Sal remembered. And so he went and he named his new restaurant, The Mustard Seed. And what began modestly as that tiny little seed of faith, a small restaurant in Mount Pleasant with 7 tables and 3 employees, has grown into a local landmark. It has lots of places, and I do recommend you eating there. But anyway, we see this constantly. We see it in the manger, where God's answer to the problems of the world was a tiny baby. You see it in Cana, where Jesus' kindness at a wedding set in motion a cascade of events that ended in his saving death. To make your own mustard seed story, all you need is a little faith and a lot of patience. God will take even our smallest acts of fidelity and make them grow. God is always seeking the lowly person, the humble person, and will make him or her great in the kingdom. He will do it with you and me. Think of the seeds that help form you, all those influential people in your own life, maybe those encouraging words of a coach who gave you confidence, the praise of a teacher who literally set the course of your life. Maybe it was the loving example of a parent, a grandparent, or friend. Their words grew inside us to give us confidence. And this is magnified even more when it comes to faith. We just have to be humble enough to let the tiny seed of faith that God has already planted within us to be nurtured by grace, especially through the sacraments. If the witness of our faith changes even one life, that's huge. And I know you know my own story, that one act of faith, the sign of the cross, it led me here. If you change that one person, that person will go on to change another life and another life and another. So don't get discouraged by the storm of the world around us, a world that is not centered on God, completely preoccupied with its own, usually self-created political or economic crisis after crisis. Crises ruining countless 4th of July get-togethers and Thanksgiving dinners with petty arguments, right? It's a world that lacks Christian hope. Why are we, as people of faith, putting our hope in this world that clearly is not getting it right? God has already shown us the way. We just need a little faith and just keep being faithful in every little thing with Christian hope. Remember, usually we will not see the end product of our acts of faith. We just need to keep doing them. You will likely never see the tree that comes from the seeds that you plant. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes you will only see the fruit when you are at the judgment seat of God. But you don't need to see it. It's not about you. Keep scattering the seeds anyway. God is making more out of them than you can imagine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.